Well, you've really done it now. You've downloaded the Oklahoma Today podcast. We are your hosts, Nate and Greg, and today we are live, recorded on a series of ones and zeros in Oklahoma City's City Hall for a talk about the city with a man who really ought to know something about it, Mayor David Holt. But before we get into it, a word from our sponsor. The Oklahoma Today podcast is brought to you by MIO, the Made in Oklahoma Coalition. Celebrating its 20th year, the MIO Coalition represents over 70 Oklahoma food processors and agricultural producers. These companies are known for products you can depend on for consistency, quality, taste, and flavor. Local has a name, and the name is MIO, the Made in Oklahoma Coalition. Learn more at www.miocoalition.com. All right, we are here. This is Greg Elwell here with Nate Gunner, our editor-in-chief, and our guest of honor this week, Mayor David Holt. Mayor Holt, thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you. Welcome to City Hall.
Thank you so much. Before we get too far into anything else, you are 1 year younger than me, and so first question I have is, how dare you?
how dare I make you realize that you're never going to be the mayor of Oklahoma City?
Yes.
That it has passed you by?
Yeah, it has. It's true. Well, it's very weird. I remember this happening when I was just out of college. Mm-hmm. A buddy of mine realized that he was the same age as Tiger Woods. Mm-hmm. and was sort of crestfallen at the idea. He was like, I'll never achieve what that guy has done. And I'm like, well, no. I mean, you know what? Fair enough. He actually did achieve something. Tiger Woods did, and got divorced. But other than that, so you grew up, you were born in Oklahoma City?
Born and raised.
Where'd you go to school?
I was Northwest Oklahoma City, went to Putnam City Schools, graduated from PC North class of 97.
Okay.
And went out to college in D.C. and majored in political science, did some internships, worked for the Speaker, the President of the United States, came back home, ended up being my predecessor's chief of staff for 5 years, then was elected to the state Senate, and then ran for mayor.
Okay. What does George W. Bush smell like?
This is a great interview already.
Sandalwood? That was my guess.
I was thinking like mower gas.
Really?
Yeah. You know, because he was always like in Crawford clearing the land.
He did love to clear brush.
Yeah.
But that's one of those things.
But like
I always
mower, like mower gas. That's like for me, that's a compliment because that's a good.
Well, thing. That's all the time we have. I really appreciate. it. I really appreciate you guys coming to City Hall, and it's been a really good visit. Thank you.
So, on the serious, we are sitting here about a week after the Oklahoma City passed MAPS 4.
Right. Yes.
With a record level of support. Mm-hmm. That's exciting. So, what's next for that process? And just for those listeners across the state and maybe people who don't know, tell us what's in this package.
And for the listener who may not be an Oklahoma Cityophile, MAPS is the brand and the revenue stream through which we've built all the cool things you know and associate with Oklahoma City now, like the arena and Scissortail Park and Bricktown Ballpark and the Bricktown Canal and the streetcar, and the list goes on and on. It's 26 years now across three MAPS initiatives. And so as a community, we had the opportunity over the last year to consider doing a MAPS 4 that would not increase the sales tax rate because there was another sales tax coming off. And we embarked upon an incredibly inclusive and thoughtful process that started with all these thousands of ideas brought in through any various means, and then we had these marathon council meetings this summer to go through them, and ultimately emerging with this package of 16 projects that we presented to the voters, who they, as you said, approved with 72% of the vote, which is the highest any sales tax has received really in Oklahoma City history. And I think it's largely because in the end it was their package. I mean, we really let the people really drive, what this ultimately included. And it wasn't any particular person's perfect package, and that's like not how this works. You know, it's not really supposed to be. I always seek as mayor to have, win-win outcomes and a package in this case that reflected a broad spectrum of desires. And I think that also is partly why it got a high percentage, that there was kind of something for everybody, and those things that they didn't like, they could stomach. And I certainly preached that message that was how compromise and collaboration works. And I feel like we were building on a culture that's already present in Oklahoma City through three previous MAPS, that we sort of work together in a diverse people, diverse of ethnicity, diverse of geography, diverse of age, diverse of politics, find a way to move forward. And when you can pass in this political environment nationally, you know, in a city that's, you know, pretty purple, this is not a one way or the other kind of city right now, you can pass something like that, a tax funding all these different projects with 72%. I actually think there's something beyond what we did for the projects and for our city there. There's something, there's an example we made for how you get things done and how America can work again if we, at every level of government, if we figure out how to seek those, essentially, those collaborative, imperfect outcomes, right? I mean, I heard that time and time again in the closing weeks. Well, it's not perfect, but I'm voting for it. And it's like, you know what? If everyone in the city thinks it's not perfect, that is perfect.
Right. Yeah.
Like, because if there is one group of people, you know, in the city who are like, that's exactly what I wanted, that means another group of people has been left out.
Yes.
Yeah. And
well, and if you only ever vote for things that you think are 100% perfect, you'll never vote. I mean, seriously.
That was a point that I made to somebody. It was like, you know, you can wait for the perfect bond package, you can wait for the perfect politician, you can wait for the perfect anything, and congratulations on exiting society because you'll never find any of it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and I saw people who were like, it's like, well, you know, I'm going to hold my nose and vote for it, and it's like, again, good? Because the truth is, there's a lot of things that I don't want my tax money to go to. I feel there's probably a lot of people who feel the same way. And if it's almost the journalist problem, which I've always heard, you know, throughout my many years, which is if everybody's mad at you, you're probably doing something right. And in this case, it's like, yeah, as long as everybody says, well, you're right. As long as everyone says it's not perfect, then we're covering the right amount of everything for everyone. Because I would love, it would be so awesome if everybody used absolutely every single city service and really took advantage of all that Oklahoma City has to offer. But we have different lives and we do different things with our lives. And the truth is that I don't, I will use some city services way more than others. And there are some that I will never use. And frankly, I should probably be grateful for that.
So like speaking of that exact thing, this maps package really covers kind of a broader, it's got a broader scope.
Yeah, and I didn't even get really into the nitty-gritty of what's in it. It was a lot of neighborhood things like transit and parks, you know, upgrades to our whole park system, youth centers, you know, at least 4 state-of-the-art youth centers, and we really laid the foundation they'd be in challenged parts of our city. But then there was also kind of a human needs element, and maybe some of that I just said also has that, but more specifically things like a diversion hub for providing services to, you know, low-level offenders to get their lives on a better path. You know, our Family Justice Center providing services to victims of domestic violence. We had homelessness housing. We had, you know, substance abuse and mental health services. And in the end, it was all buildings because that's what MAPS is best at. But it was buildings in different subject areas than maybe before where it was just entertainment.
Yeah.
And yet there are still voters in the city who, you know, don't really get that other stuff, but they sure love the thunder, you know. And so, and so there was something for them as well. You know, we enhanced the Chesapeake Arena to ensure that we do keep the thunder. We have a new State Fair Coliseum because that's a huge economic impact to our city. We have a multi-purpose stadium because we're the only city, we think, out of the top 50 that doesn't have one. And then there was finally kind of an innovation district jobs component for people who are more sort of driven by economic development concerns. And again, sort of something for everybody. But 70% of it was those neighborhood and human needs.
Yeah.
And probably you could argue at best that MAPS 3 was maybe 10% those kinds of things. And MAPS 1 was probably 0 to 5% those kinds of things. Now MAPS 2 for kids was school buildings, and so in a way, you know, that was neighborhoods across the city, that was fulfilling a human capital need, and maybe that's the pattern we're developing into, but yeah, it was definitely focused on those human needs and those neighborhood needs, and we felt like that was A, what the city needed right now, but also that's what people wanted, and you know, ultimately, I mean, it is a vote, you know, I mean, people can say, you tell the people what they need, you know, well, you know, I mean, there's
also,
my job is to be like maybe one step ahead of them, but I can't be 10 steps ahead of them, and this was what they said over and over that they really wanted this time around, and then if anybody wasn't listening, the vote, I think, certainly validated that.
I think so, for sure. And we're still kind of at the tail end of MAPS 3, just in the sense of, like, the conventions
yeah.
getting finished, and yeah. Scissortail Park opened this past fall, and I want to know exactly how much trouble you got in for dropping that mic
on the stage. I mean, let's be real. I raised $1 million over the concert. I was owed one mic out of it.
Okay.
So none, not at all.
Okay.
Yeah, no. Okay. I like that.
All right.
Okay. I don't know what came over me. Yeah.
Please, hands off this mic. We work for the state, which has much less money.
Very expensive piece of equipment. Don't worry. My mic dropping days are behind me. I can never talk like that.
For those listeners who don't know, at the Kings of Leon concert that opens mm-hmm. in Tail Park, the mayor actually did drop the mic pretty hard.
I believe
it was pretty
cool. Not just that. He did a finger kiss point and dropped the mic.
I think you're embellishing, but I'll go with it.
Hey, you know what they say about the wild, what they used to say about the Wild West, and you should embrace this, is there's the truth and the legend. Right. Print the legend.
Yeah,
that's
so right.
Print the legend, man.
There was a peace out kiss.
Yeah, totally.
And then fire shot into the sky.
Yeah.
That's right.
The mic dropped and exploded.
Yeah, and you floated about 6 feet off the ground.
And then he body slammed. Body slammed the Undertaker, yeah. and the concert started. I mean, we were there.
So tell us about, just from your perspective as mayor, you know, we talk a lot about, and we've got a new issue out with sitting right in front of you right now.
Yeah, beautiful.
The city issue about how much the city.
Clint Stone cover, lovely.
Yeah, Clint Stone did the cover artwork, and it's awesome. But from your perspective, what have been the most important changes in this city in your life since you've been here?
Oh, gosh. I mean, where do you begin? Because, yeah. like, most of the things on this cover didn't even exist in,
right.
you know, right?
Well,
like,
even when we did the same artist, same issue, Oklahoma City issue in 2008, almost all that stuff
mm-hmm.
wasn't here. So it's
yeah.
kind of amazing.
Well, it all started with MAPS. We finally built some of the basic building blocks starting in 1993 of a great American city. Like, we always look back, man, it was transformational, as if we had invented the idea of having an arena in a ballpark.
Right.
You know, it's just the stuff everybody else already had, but
right.
we had never done it. And so it was transformational for us. And we had just, you know, we'd come out of this kind of low-tax, limited government culture. And, there's still obviously a place for that, and that's still, I think, in the fabric of Oklahoma City's political culture. But we were bordering on, like, no government culture. Like, I mean, we were bordering on,
yeah.
let's just be individualistic, like, live at the end of our cul-de-sacs, like, no one come downtown, no one congregate or have any sense of community whatsoever. Let's just be a place that 1 million people happen to live. Let's not really be a city, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that was failing to impress anyone. And we were realizing that we were losing a generation of young people. We were losing, you know, the ability to get job creators. And it was ultimately United Airlines facility not coming here that was kind of the catalyst that finally got us to invest in ourselves and just build some stuff. And so I don't even know where to begin. I mean, if you had to pick the one single thing, and I wrote a book about it, so I'm fairly committed to this theory, you know, in American life, and it's hard for people who, like, aren't sports fans to ever really get this or accept it, and maybe they've still got, you know, some high school grudges to get over or whatever, but, like, the reality is, in American life, having a pro sports team is, like, is our unofficial way of bestowing a blue ribbon on your city and saying, yes, you are a tier one city, you know? And there's, like, a handful of cities that have found other ways to get there. Austin, Nashville, LA, New York, like, they would be great cities, you know, for other reasons, right? But every other city, pretty much, to get a ticket to that dance has got to have one of the, you know, a team in the NFL, the Major League Baseball, or in the NBA, to feel consequential, to feel like you're not in some alternative universe outside of American pop culture. And that is what it felt like growing up in Oklahoma City in the 80s and 90s. You know, take a 1980s celebrity. If you thought you saw Michael Jordan downtown, it was 100% sure that you did not. Nobody
yeah.
ever came here.
Right.
Nothing ever happened here.
Right.
You know, with,
yeah.
you know, maybe a few cool concerts, but, like, that was about it. And
yeah.
and now, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, we had, like, last 2 weeks ago, where, like, Matt Damon and Jesse Eisenberg were staying at the same hotel for different reasons.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was like our celebrities and our athletes are, like, you know, like, bumping into each other. I mean,
yeah.
we feel like, you know, we're definitely a part of American life. And on some level, that's all superficial and who cares, right? But you know what? People do care. And
right.
and they wanted to live in a city that mattered, where things happened. And because of all those investments, we created the infrastructure where things could happen. And now they're happening. And now I honestly feel like we're actually just starting. Now I feel like we've done all this, we're in the game, and I think the next 10 or 20 years, things will happen in Oklahoma City that we sort of just never even imagined. You know, I think we're finally just actually at the baseline, and I think the best truly lies ahead.
That's great. So what does that look like for you? Kind of what are some of your wildest dreams for Oklahoma City?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, you know, obviously we want to maintain professional sports, we want to maintain concerts and all those things. I think we want to better incorporate the diversity of our city into, and I think that's one major transition you'll see. One, you know, you have a cover here of buildings, and that's been like the story of Oklahoma City for the last 25 years. Mm-hmm. Look at all the buildings we have now that we
right.
don't have. Well, your listeners can't see what you see, but you are looking at walls that are covered in pictures of Oklahoma City kids. Mm-hmm. And one thing that will be different, if you were to build a cover of people in the next 20 years, it will look like these kids. And these kids on my walls are 60% non-white, because that's the demographics of the kids of Oklahoma City. And so, you know, the future of Oklahoma City is as much Latino and African American and Vietnamese as it is, you know, Anglo-Saxon. And that's obviously a departure from our demographic history. And so that's a major shift in the city that I think will be great for the city and will give us a different look and feel in the years ahead. And as mayor, I've just felt like it's my role to kind of acclimate people to that and make sure that that transition happens in a way where we're all one OKC and we all have empathy for each other, and not in a way where it's like one group is conquering the other. You know, I wanted everybody to move forward into that future as united as we have been in the past. So that's one thing the future holds. I think there'll be just more of everything. I think there'll be more food culture. I think there'll be more events that we never imagined we could host. I don't know what all that necessarily specifically looks like today, but I just think we'll get opportunities that at one time just would have seemed ludicrous to us.
I love that answer about diversity and empathy, because you had a great quote in a story that you were talking about the Oklahoma City bombing, which the 25th anniversary is coming up really mm-hmm. soon, and you said it's a story about what happens when we dehumanize each other.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you know, the act of the bombing has many different levels of analysis, and obviously one of them, though, is it's an act of political violence, and it's also an act of dehumanization. I mean, you can't blow up a building full of strangers, many of whom were children, until you have in your mind, you know, created this fantasy that these people are soldiers in some war that only you know is happening,
right.
And when in reality they are people with kids and families, and we honor and remember that every, you know, every April 19th, because the human side of the cost is obviously so incredible, and we want people to really, and obviously we want to honor those specific victims, but we also want sort of people one step removed and more to always think about that, you know. And in today's current political discourse, right, that's the worst. I mean, people are constantly spewing this toxic venom that seems to come from a place of thinking that this person I'm talking about, either a public servant or just somebody on Facebook I'm screaming at, doesn't have a family, isn't a human being, like, doesn't have feelings, you know. I really think that the memorial and the event of 1995 has never been more relevant, because that swamp that Timothy McVeigh came out of is kind of everywhere right now.
Yeah.
And we have to be...
And it's more accessible now.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And so...
He had to go looking. Seriously.
Right. He had to, like, buy pamphlets and, you know, and, like, listen to weird radio stations or something. But, yeah, it's like it's in my Twitter feed every day now.
Yeah.
And you kind of sort of have to, I think, resolve yourself to push back with love, you know, and mm-hmm. push back with acceptance and empathy, and call it out. And, you know, you don't want to match hate with hate, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you have to call it out in a way that reflects what you're trying, you know, your ultimate goal. But we've got to do better. And again, I think Oklahoma City is a place to learn that lesson.
I think, and this is maybe a weird connection back to what you were saying before, but I think that's one thing that the Thunder has kind of done for us is there is this this thread now that connects all of us, whether or not you're a big Thunder fan or not, or whether you know what's happening with the team at any given moment, but you are seeing people who do not look like you doing the same thing that you're doing. They're rooting for this team, they're rooting for this city, and the opportunities that having the Thunder here brought, they brought in so many of the restaurants and this economic upheaval and that's been lifting everyone across the city. Part of that comes because there's more money around, and so now you can explore the thing that you want to try, and you're finding other people who appreciate that. And maybe they never knew that could exist here in Oklahoma City. But really, it you look across the aisle, you look across the city, and you see someone who maybe has nothing else in common with you except for this one thing, and suddenly you have to acknowledge, it's like, well, we all root for the Thunder, at least, you know, at least. And oddly enough, I feel like that is a remove from the previous state, which was like, look, you're either a Sooner fan or you're a Cowboy fan, and we hate each other. But now with the Thunder, it's sort of like, look, I don't like you, and you don't like me, and our politics are totally different, but at least we all agree that Draymond Green should be thrown out of the game. Like, at least we all come together on that point. That guy should not be kicking nice people in the crotch.
Right.
Get him out, Griff. We are probably going to have to wrap up here, Nate.
What? I guess we are, but I did want to ask the mayor a couple things really quick. I want to do sort of a lightning round of some of the favorite places in Oklahoma City. Okay, favorite place to get a burger?
See, this is a dangerous...
I know. Mayor's can. Yeah, you can be as magnanimous as... Okay, maybe let's say this. A favorite place to get a burger.
A favorite
or
place?
Or maybe one or two, yeah.
I mean, I really do crave... the cheese steak at Johnny's.
You can't beat it. Yeah.
And I miss the cheeseburger at Irma's.
Oh, my God, yes. I'll tell you what, you're not terribly far away from a no-name ranch Irma burger.
Okay.
At the Oklahoma History Center, upstairs, Linda Lee from Irma's, who used to run Irma's, is running the cafe there now, and she is making Irma burgers. You can still go in and get yourself an Irma burger.
Hot tip. See, this is the guy to ask.
Yeah, he's the one to know. I know. Let's say tacos.
Tacos. I think I need to get way more immersed in like South Oklahoma City sort of taco culture. I yield my time to Greg on that question.
There's too many answers to that.
Well,
I don't think I'm knowledgeable.
We went to Taco Rico for lunch today. So,
was talking about with one of your staff members about Super Tortas El Chavo, which, hey, anytime you want to go grab a torta with me on the south side, let me know. We'll run down there.
All right.
What's a great place for if you just want to go somewhere and just be quiet? But you can't, you know, do the drive out into the country, go to a state park, whatever. Like, I just need some nature and some quiet. Where do you go?
Gosh. I mean, this is, like, more a theory than any kind of practice.
Right.
You know, I have
because
kids
you have
too,
time
you know,
for
I,
things
I
like this. Yeah.
I have two jobs and a family, you know.
Right.
I don't know. Here's a funny answer from recent history. I was sat in my car in my parking spot for about an hour last week. It was the only place I could escape.
Been there.
Yeah. Been there. Probably going to do it later today. Yeah. What has maybe been your biggest sort of pleasant surprise as mayor?
Well, I you know, in the terms of on the
surprise,
I've
seen your social media, so I can imagine what some of the most unpleasant surprises are.
On the surprise front, I mean, I usually say, you know, I worked for the mayor for 5 years. I was in elected office for eight. Like, you know, I kind of knew what I was getting into. I don't know if it's a pleasant surprise or what, but, you know, the total loss of anonymity is interesting. And you don't get it as a state senator. Like, I don't even know if my next-door neighbor, you know, cared, right? Like, well, you know, everybody's got to have a job, I figure he would say if I told him I was his state senator, you know. But like, mayor is different, you know, and you just, between the camp, and it took a while. I mean, you know, people aren't as engaged maybe as they used to be or should be, and so, you know, it really wasn't even really until the last couple weeks of the campaign where I'm buying TV ads, you know, or even in those following weeks where there's a lot of media attention to the new mayor and, like, it was just different. It was noticeable. Like I can, like in the course of a year, I could see this sudden difference where, you know, you get to that point where people just walk up to you and just talk to you, which is fine, but like they don't introduce themselves anymore. Like they're just like, you're the mayor, I know that, and you don't care who I am, so they just start talking, you know.
I've actually seen this happen to you. I saw this happen to you last week.
And so that's interesting. And I try to take it back to like, you know, basics and be like, well, I'm David, what's your name? You know, like let's but you know, that's in the pictures, you know, and all that. And it's, I mean, at this point, I seem to still be maybe in some kind of honeymoon. So most of the conversations are, things are great, you know. I mean, there are worse problems to have, you know. So I mean, I think it's fine. But it's just different, and you just have to know, like, if you're in a restaurant or anywhere, like, you're just sort of on, you know? And you don't really realize how much you prize your anonymity until you lose it, you know? And, like, you know, and it's just weird when you're, like, checking out at the grocery store, and they're like, here's your groceries, Mayor, you know? Like, you cross the street, hello, Mayor, you know? It's like you live in the Truman Show or something. Like, everybody, it's just weird. Like, everybody knows who you are, and you accept it at some point, but, you know... but it's still new enough to me. So anyways, it's kind of fun for
that.
That
only ever happens to me. That only ever happens to me in restaurants. That's
to restaurants with him is a lot of fun. Yeah. See, when you talk about prizing your anonymity, see, I just get a lot of sir. No, stop doing that. So that's got to be nice.
They can call me by name.
Yeah. So that's good. So one of the things that you have done that I think is really cool is you developed a great friendship with Mayor Bynum in Tulsa.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm so excited about that, because the Tulsa, Oklahoma City thing that's been going on our whole lives is lame and stupid, and I want it to stop.
Yeah.
I think it is kind of slowly. I think the two cities are kind of coming together.
We have found a taunt.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, I think we found our roles in life, and part of it is we got the pro sports team, we sort of established ourselves, and so they had to kind of find a different direction than being the biggest and best. Their direction was, let's be, you know, a center of culture and art and let's just be proud of the unique things we have, like Gathering Place, and I don't know, just the competition sort of ended, you know, in some ways. And I actually went
to a preseason Thunder game at the BOK Center, and they were yelling OKC, OKC, and I thought, that's the first time in history that's ever happened.
Never.
18,000 persons to scream OKC. Yeah.
Well, they didn't really think about what they were doing.
In a friendly way, yeah.
But they were yelling for the team. They weren't really yelling for the city.
Right, but it's a step,
though. But we kind of fooled them there. Yeah. Like, you know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, one of you is holding a pitchfork. Yeah.
So it's good, yeah. And our personal friendship goes back 20 years, and so it was a great place to build. And so, yeah, it's just funny, all the parallels. I mean, we have basically like the same families. Our wives are both lawyers. Our kids are a boy and a girl. They're like, you know, the same ages. Like, you know, they opened a park, we opened a park, you know. Like, I mean, it's just been one thing after another. But we both seem very, as cities, it seems like our civic leadership is both very content with where we are.
Good.
And we feel like, you know, we're competing with, you know, great American cities now, thanks to 26 years of MAPS. We just don't sense a jealousy of Tulsa anymore.
Right.
We're
right.
happy for them when they succeed.
Yeah, same. Last question that I have is, what if you just met someone and they just like, oh yeah, Oklahoma City, I kind of know where that is.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like I bet you got this when you went to college.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, like Oklahoma City. Where even is that?
And then
yeah.
I always said, like, the second question was always like, well, what pro sports do you have?
If you met someone like that today, what would you tell them? Like, what would be the one thing you would want them to take away from an interaction with you knowing about Oklahoma City?
Well, what I always say about Oklahoma City, my sales pitch is essentially, you can now live here. Okay, you could always live here and like have low traffic and clean air and, you know, a big house. And there was this trade-off, though, you know, until MAPS. And the trade-off was, yeah, but you have no restaurants and no pro sports and no concerts and nothing, right? Like, and now there's not that trade-off. So it's like a secret little best of all worlds scenario. And it may change someday, you know, if too many people discover it, you know, maybe the traffic will get worse. But today it's like you can still live here and on all the good ways feel like you're living in a big, small town. And yet have all the amenities of Los Angeles and Dallas and Houston and all these other great cities, from food to art to sports or whatever. And so it's like you can have it all. And people probably just think, well, that's just a mayor thing to say until they come here. And we always find whether it's a company recruiting somebody or whatever it is, or us recruiting a job creator, if they just come here within a couple hours, they get it. And they're like, oh, wow, like this is one of America's best kept secrets. You know, like we want to live here. We want to do business here. We want to visit here. But we just, because their preconceived notions are so bad, you know, it's often hard to get them here. But if we can get them here, we erase all that within a couple hours, because they assume we live in teepees and ride in wagons. And yeah.
Have you ever, this will be the very last thing, I promise. Mm-hmm. And I encourage the listeners as well to get on YouTube and look up a video called Growing with Pride. And I was gonna ask if you have ever seen Growing with Pride.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Okay, the Oklahoma City Convention and Visitors Bureau in the 60s made a short recruitment video for Oklahoma City that included them taking a helicopter tour around the city. That's in quotes. And talking about the pay plan and all this other stuff. Yeah. And I feel like right now we are living in the future that video thought was going to happen just 60 years down the line.
Took a little longer,
But if you haven't watched it, I think you would get a real kick out of what they thought Oklahoma City was going to be like and what it is now.
It's growing.
Yeah, growing with pride.
You pronounced it without a G there at the end.
That is my understanding.
Growing with pride.
Growing with pride. And for no good reason, there's a cartoon airport worker with an Irish accent who is welcoming people. Oh, welcome to Oklahoma City, sort of thing.
Yeah. And it was cutting edge.
It really was. It was like, wow, they got Irish people.
Irish-American, I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. We know you got to get back to governing.
I feel like we didn't get as weird as you threatened we would.
Oh,
so.
Don't worry. Once this goes off, it's Fight Club.
I feel like we should mention that we looked you up on Wikipedia and it appears that you died in 1993.
Yeah.
We'll work on that. Steve, get the team on that.
Also,
there are many David's Holt.
David Holt who was in Pride of the Yankees.
Oh, okay.
as a boy who had overcome polio, and then it said sadly died in 1993, and I was like, oh, poor David Holt.
Doing a great job as mayor, frankly.
You're really knocking out of the park
for a dead guy. Thank you so much for being here
today.
Yeah,
thank you. Appreciate it very much. Yeah. Thank you.
All right, we've got our events this week. January 7th, there's more than just one pro basketball team in Oklahoma City. The Thunder's NBA Developmental League's OKC Blue are playing the Austin Spurs at the Cox Convention Center in Oklahoma City. Great way to watch the future stars of the NBA as they sharpen their skills.
Sounds like fun. January 8th, self-proclaimed stoner disco and desert boogie group Black Magic Flower Power, that's a heck of a name, takes the stage at the Barn in Enid for an evening of psychedelic pop rock funk disco that will bend your mind and move your booty.
Yes.
Even. Not your whole body, just your booty.
Well, they're not going to stop you from moving the rest of your body, but it is mandatory that your booty moves.
Black Magic Flower Power seems like something that should have been played on the King Biscuit Flower Hour.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
January 9th, will Jesse be waiting outside the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Catoosa? It's the perfect chance to confront Rick Springfield about his, frankly, very inappropriate song about Jesse's girl called Jesse's Girl.
Rick Springfield was the first concert I ever went to.
Really?
First concert I ever went to. And I still have the button. I was two. I don't even remember it. But I still have the button that's in my kitchen. You've seen it. January 10th, one of our absolute favorite places in the state, Tulsa's Philbrook Museum of Art, hosts The Current, Eric Saul. This event combines ballet, painting, costumes, and a video of a live 2018 event in which Saul created a live gestural painting on stage while a dancer spun the painter and the canvas across the stage on a rolling platform. That sounds like an absolute trip.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Yay for Philbrook.
Absolutely. January 11th, what sounds better than a bowl of chili and a glass of locally brewed beer?
Now vegans can get in on the fun with the Vegan Chili Cook-Off at Anthem Brewing Company in Oklahoma City. From noon to 3 p.m., a $20 ticket will get you tasters of a variety of plant-based chilies from local restaurants, three votes for which ones you think are the best, and a tasty Anthem beer. Visit ouryogacollective.org for more info.
You know, that's really interesting. Like, veggie vegan chili is an interesting, so I kind of want to go try that. We did a story a couple years ago about barbecue in the magazine, and someone wrote to us and said, why didn't you profile any vegan barbecue places? And I thought, well, if you could find us, I think I wrote him back. I was like, that would actually be an interesting story.
Do you know of any vegan barbecue
places? Yeah, and I asked, and I didn't get a response back. So I just think, you know, like, going vegan is admirable, but it also requires, the reason it's admirable is because it requires sacrifice. To me, it's like, if you're not willing to give up barbecue, then you shouldn't be going vegan.
Well,
right?
And I understand where that person would be coming from with the idea of, I mean, because barbecue is a cooking style, not necessarily any specific protein.
Right.
So, like, I've seen smoked tofu before, and you can certainly smoke a variety of carrots and other vegetables.
And all that kind of stuff, yeah.
It's just, but, like, I have yet to find a place that says, we are a vegan barbecue restaurant.
Right.
I've yet to find a barbecue restaurant that says we have vegan stuff either. So
yeah. I mean, even if you go to a barbecue restaurant and order vegetables, you're probably not being completely vegan at that point. Like,
yeah.
It's touched meat. Okay. But vegan chili. Yeah. I'm excited to try. Also on January 11th, bring mittens, earmuffs, and a family-sized jug of hot cocoa, because the full moon night hike at Roman Nose State Park in Watonga will be fun but quite chilly. Enjoy up to a 4-mile hike to Inspiration Point. It's gorgeous up there. Meet at Roman Nose Lodge and come dressed for the weather with at least 1 liter of water. Walking sticks are recommended but not required. As someone who's hiked in Roman Nose, I would say take your walking stick. The full moon night hikes are fun and informative, with each hike starting after dark and lasting up to 3 hours. This event will be held weather permitting, so if it's icy or rainy or snowy, it's not, you know, don't drive to Roman Nose State Park. But that sounds like a lot of fun. I might go.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you guys once again for listening to the podcast. We love that you let us whisper to you every week.
And thanks to our guest, Mayor David Holt.
Absolutely.
Who was great, yeah, who was a lot of fun to talk to.
It was so much fun to talk to him. If you please go on and subscribe to the podcast, rate and review us online. Maybe tell a friend that you listen to it, and maybe they would enjoy listening to it. If you do have any questions or you just want to yell at us about random stuff, you can always email us at oktpod@travelok.com.
oktpod@travelok.com, or if you want to recommend a vegan barbecue restaurant.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
and if you like what you hear here, you would love what you would read in Oklahoma Today magazine. Go to oklahomatoday.com/subscribe and make sure you don't miss a single issue. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Bye.